Good morning, everyone, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to Magalu's conference call referring to the earnings of the first quarter. For simultaneous translation, please click on the interpretation button at the globe icon on the bottom of the screen and choose your preferred language, Portuguese or English. We inform that this event is being recorded and will be made available at the company's website at ir.magazineluiza.com.br, where you may also find the earnings release and the presentation, both in Portuguese and in English. The English presentation link is also available on the chat. During the presentation, participants' microphones will be off. Afterwards, we will start the Q&A session. In order to ask a question, please click on the Q&A icon at the bottom of your screen. Please write your name, company, and language of the question. When your name is announced, a request to activate your microphone will appear on the screen, and you may unmute to ask a question. Questions received in writing will be answered later by the IR team. Now I would like to turn the floor over to Fred Trajano, CEO of Magalu. Fred, you may begin.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for attending this call about Magalu's first quarter of 2022. It's a quarter marked by some highlights in line with what we've been communicating to the market since the third quarter of last year. The first quarter marked by a recovery of operating margin, a major one if we compare to the fourth quarter of last year. A major growth in marketplace, and we will be talking about this during the presentation. The drop in normalization of inventories around 1 billion reais, which we had already informed and promised to the market, and the normalization of sales from physical stores. Although the comparison base of last year was affected by the stores closing due to COVID, it's a positive indication for physical stores, and Fabrício will be able to talk about this later, our Director of Operations. I have all the executive team of the company here with us, and both myself and Roberto will be making the presentation, and everybody will be available for the Q&A. First, about sales. We grew 13% in the first quarter over a growth base of 63% last year. If we look at a two-year base, a growth of 84%, with online representing almost 75% of total sales of the company. The highlight continues to be e-commerce, especially marketplace, although we have been seeing an expressive recovery of our operating margins. We continue to grow e-commerce above the market. We see this growth in the next slide at 150% vis-à-vis 2020, 16% compared to 2021. A quarterly growth of 50% in marketplace over a very high base as well of the first quarter of last year. 3P already participating in about 40% over the last few months on Magalu's online. A major growth, even considering that we already priced the take rate at 3P as of the beginning of February. The take rate expansion, we had two to three months with a higher take rate that represents more profitability. In spite of that, we were able to grow much above the market, 50% in the quarter over a high base. Online, as I said, 50% growth last year. It's always important to look at the two years because the first quarter last year was the best quarter for the market as well. We had growth over growth, even with a major recovery of margins. I'd like to talk about the growth of physical stores. You can see a highlight of the quarter. We grew 6% year-on-year, 10% vis-à-vis 2020. Of course, 2020 and 2021, we had stores closed because of the COVID pandemic. This figure is positive in the sense that April and May continue on a positive trend. Last year, the stores were already open, so we have a more positive scenario after a very difficult fourth quarter for physical stores. In spite of the economic scenario, I consider this good news for the quarter. Of course, the highlight was the marketplace because it was a comparable basis, and physical stores, as I said, had many stores closed because of the pandemic last year. We see a positive trend, mainly as of April and May as well. So it is higher than the market expectation for the period after a very difficult fourth quarter, and we continue to gain share in physical stores, which is important. As for the margins, as I said at the beginning of the presentation, we have been communicating to the market that mainly 1P in durables, we have a project of margin recovery, and in 1P, I also mean physical stores. In between online and physical stores, we grew our margin from 2.6 adjusted to 5 in the quarter, 2.6 in the fourth quarter of last year, and 5% in the first quarter this year. A series of actions that we took to make sales more profitable, transferring costs to the final prices. I talked about the increase in take rate as well, optimization of expenses, the resizing of the company as a whole, increasing logistics efficiency, a lot of investment in market intelligence, historical ROE in marketing, very optimized as well. Major job that we have been doing and we have been able to recover. If we look at the month of March alone that we published in our release, the margin was already at 6 points. Historically, Magalu has always worked with operating margins above 8. We only reduced this number during the 2 years of the pandemic, mostly due to stores closing during the pandemic and the trade-off that we did for growth. While the interest rate was 2% per year, it was worthwhile to do this trade-off. Now that the interest rates went up to 3%, future interest, we believe that the historical margins are more appropriate for this moment of high interest rates, and the process of margin recovery that we started in the quarter will certainly continue to happen for the next few quarters. Also, with a significant effect on the gross margins. We're working with margins that are compatible with what the market has been doing as well. And despite the margin increase, I repeat that if we compare to the main players that published their results, our 2-year growth was above market average. We are being able to recover margins, maintaining this growth that we achieved during the pandemic. And I said during the first quarter that in the pandemic years, we doubled our size, the company as a whole, tripled the e-commerce, and quadrupled marketplace. So we remain with growth bases above the market, even with the margin recomposition, as we said. It's good to note this. We always have to look at a longer history because every company had their previous quarter at different bases, and this has to be taken into account in your analysis. But I think this is very positive in that sense. Looking forward, we continue to bet on the growth of the marketplace. We are very confident in our strategy, and post-pandemic, we already reached 15% share on the Brazilian e-commerce vis-à-vis total retail, and the next growth will necessarily be through a very important process, which is to digitalize Brazilian analog retail. If we don't take analog retailers and get them to sell online, we will not be able to exceed 15-20% of online retail. So the next cycle of growth of Brazilian online must include the marketplaces helping the physical retail to digitalize. We started this during the pandemic with Parceiro Magalu, the Magalu partner, adding 154,000 sellers to the base, a total of 180,000. Note that our sellers are formal. They have their registration with the federal government, so it cannot be compared with marketplaces that have individuals acting as companies. So it's a differential, and we added 50 million offers to our process. So we were the marketplace with this feature of formal sellers that added the most sellers in the last 2 years. A diverse base, not concentrated geographically, and a strong long-tail characteristic. We continue with a very strong process at walking the talk, and this week we'll be having the first major action of the caravan. We had a pilot in São José dos Campos. We'll be going around the whole of Brazil, and we will be looking for these sellers. Analog sellers need to be convinced. They need proximity and warmth. So Luiza Trajano, our chairwoman of the board, will travel the country along with Magalu's executives, all of the companies in our ecosystem, the fintech, logistics company, and as well as partner companies will all be there showcasing their services to the Brazilian sellers. We'll give free courses by Comschool, the company that we acquired. So we'll travel around the country. The first stop will be Maceió. We had a pilot in São José dos Campos, still Luiza's without Luiza's presence, and we already reached 5% of the retailers in the region and published six times more sellers than we did before the caravan. So it's a strong action with everything to do with the multi-channels and with Magalu's characteristics. We're very excited, and I'm certain it's going to be a big success, mainly to bring these sellers with a different profile on board. This is our bet for the sustainable long-term growth of our marketplace. The importance of the caravan is precisely to bring profiles of different regions on board. Magalu has been bringing on board the more diversified sellers to its base. So if you look here, you can see that the characteristic is that more than 60-70% of new sellers are from long tail categories. Long tail grows twice as much as the long tail grows twice as much as the traditional categories compared to previous years. So if we grow 50%, within these 50%, we grow twice as much in long tail than in core categories, generating this 50% average. So we continue to grow significantly in long tail, and it's super important as we bet a great deal in geolocation, local delivery. We're developing a logistics network using the physical stores, growing a lot of our local action. No wonder our first stop at the caravan will be Maceió and the second, Aracaju. We're bringing sellers of different regions of Brazil. And I'd like to highlight that we have something no other marketplace has, which is the physical store. I would like to reiterate that our physical stores remains as an important point of sale, but it's also a local point of support to the marketplace. It's like a shipping agency for them. 400 stores are already working as Magalu's postal agencies. More than 15,000 sellers are already using our stores as their agency, dropping off products, a very significant share of the total. Of the total that we sell on 3P online, 3% is already with store pickup. So we have been really using the stores, and they are responsible for hunting as well. All of the pre-registration we did for Maceió was done by the team of the 18 stores in Maceió, a high level of pre-registration for the event, the Magalu Caravan. And the stores in general have brought in more than 50,000 sellers over the last year for Magalu. So they work as a ranking point for Magalu, and more recently as a support point to sellers, especially in terms of logistics. And in this sense, we are improving a lot our 3P logistics, noting that our 1P logistics is the best in the market. 75% of our 1P deliveries are in up to 2 days, growing significantly. And ultra-fast delivery launched as well this quarter. But the 3P delivery moved from 22 to 31%. And with this expansion and regionality that we're getting with Parceiro Magalu, the partner Magalu, as well as with the launch of our fulfillment service, we intend to further increase the share of fast deliveries in 3P. As I said, it went to 30%, and the idea is to grow this figure significantly in the next 2 years. And the difference is that our fulfillment remains within our rationale. It is being developed in the same DCs of 1P. We do not have exclusive DCs for fulfillment. That's always been the strategy we don't believe in because the cost is too high. Actually, the development done by the labs and our logistics team, they use the same docks and the same network that 1P uses. The DC operator works seamlessly with 1P and 3P. It is totally scalable. The same way you do in one DC, you do in all of the other DCs. We'll also harvest all of the multi-channel benefits, that percentage of in-store pickup for 3P from 3% will also increase significantly with deliveries in up to 2 days. So fulfillment today has, with additional space, with a reduction of inventory of 1P that Roberto will talk about, we generated a lot of room in our DCs. We also have a lot of room in our trucks to deliver 3P with only a marginal cost for Magalu. So this strategy is still integrated with the multi-channel model, and it supplements our ultra-fast and ultra-local delivery that we also bet on for logistics. So we have a complete set here, and we trust that As we have a very efficient 1P with very low expenses, we'll have 3P as well growing with faster delivery, with only a marginal cost for delivery, which is a major issue for Brazilian marketplaces, the high delivery costs, especially when you go to smaller chains. Remembering that our fulfillment also stands out because in addition to courier, we'll also have road, which also produce higher tickets and will benefit. The road offer today is very limited in the market and will certainly be very successful doing this kind of delivery for our sellers and making all the fulfillment process for them. And here, I'd like to reinforce that although we are the leaders in durables, this is a very important category and it is indeed in a down cycle. But as I said, when it comes back very strong, and we want to maintain our leadership and continue to gain share in durables. We're doing an outstanding work in new categories. We already have 46% GMV coming from new categories, specifically on online. I don't consider physical stores here. KaBuM! Has already entered in these 3 months of the year, very positive. Gaming category and computer peripherals for gaming that supplement the core of our electronic categories. We have 20 billion in annualized sales. So the growth is much higher than the average of durables. So it's going down slightly. We're holding the company's results with the new categories. So we're very enthusiastic about that. With some news, next slide. We launched perishables this year, this month, in Magalu's Super App. We're integrating all the VipCommerce clients, which is the e-commerce platform that we acquired in March last year, into our Super App already with an UX completely developed for the market. That's a totally different UX than for the purchase of other products, of electronics or fashion. Supermarket UX is based on basket. You have to choose a seller to buy a product from, and we made all these investments in the improvement of the UX. Also integrating all the VIP clients, which is the biggest service provider of e-commerce for supermarkets in Brazil. We also have a booth at APAS this week. Very beautiful, and we're very excited to talk more about this. We also made a lot of progress in the AiQFome integration into the Super App. AiQFome is doing a very positive work with GMV at 1.4 billion reais annualized, 3 million orders. And maybe it's the only food delivery operator that is profitable in Brazil. So it's very positive what we're able to do. Still with that capacity to grow on average in small cities in different interior regions of the states, but thinking about getting to large cities as well. So both in grocery products and food delivery, integrating with the Super App and increasing the possibilities of growth in new categories. I'd like to highlight the first quarter of KaBuM!. A lot of people are asking about it. So we already have 1 billion GMV in the first quarter. Amazing job. KaBuM! Has more than 10% EBITDA margin. Highly efficient company, 50 million in net income, already included in our results, showing it was a spot-on bet for the company. It's also integrated in Magalu's Super App as well, its products being sold internally at Magalu. And we're also integrating Magalu's 1P at KaBuM!, which has a base of organic customers that's already really high and a very loyal audience. This category has a very good growth projection. It's a super niche category that really grows the fastest in the world. And finally, we had a very cool launch in our Super App, which is Compre Junto. Just sharing what we always say, Magalu is one of the main companies in social in Brazil, with Lu and her 30 million followers in social media. We're trying to bring social into our Super App. So we just launched Compre Junto, and basically it's a process for customers to invite their friends to make purchases and unlock offers if all the friends come in and buy. So it's the first real social commerce initiative in Brazil. It's very common in China, and 70% of orders at Compre Junto are in the supermarket, home and decoration categories, which are supplemental to our core. We're certain that Compre Junto is going to bring a lot of customers to new categories, where there'll be a lot of discovery, mostly driven by the social process. So, trying to diversify categories and grow without investing in media. These categories have lower tickets, the marketing cost is too high, so the most intelligent way to grow there is through social commerce. I'd also like to highlight ads. We have 100 million reais annualized revenue growing the first quarter year over year, 78%. A huge differential is that we're launching ads on search engines, which is a game changer for ads in general. As we can see, there's a little gift in the presentation. If you're watching online, you can see the sponsored links after a specific search. We believe this was going to boost returns to sellers, and ads in search engines is what really makes a difference in terms of ads growth. Now I'm going to turn it over to Roberto Bellissimo. He's going to talk about the fintech and the results of the quarter, and then I'll come back for the Q&A. Thank you. Thank you, Fred. Good morning, everyone. First of all, I'd like to talk about fintech here. We keep on with the objective of increasing engagement and frequency of our clients and customers and monetize the ecosystem as a whole. Last week, we had two major announcements in our fintech initiative. Firstly, for individuals, we launched a personal loan in the digital account. So in March, we had 5 million digital accounts at Magalu Pay. This is in our super app, very fast growth, nearly doubling over the last 12 months, the number of Magalu Pay accounts. We also issued more than 3 million cards over the last 12 months, in particular, Luiza card, and then Magalu card, sold 100% online. Our credit portfolio totals of 18.6 billion reais. And in this credit portfolio, we already have a portfolio of nearly 2 billion personal loans for cardholders, for those who already own our cards. And now we're launching this new personal loan for those who don't have the card, for those who have the account, and also for any user of our super app who can register fast, create an account, and can request or apply for a loan that goes in directly within seconds into the digital account. You can see the experience on the screen. It's a very fast, intuitive, convenient solution. All our users in our apps, there are more than 40 million, we already have 10 million customers pre-approved to contract our personal loans. So this is super news to further monetize our area oriented to customers. And as for sellers, we recently announced a super news, which is the corporate credit card, this time for our sellers. We had a survey and 97% of companies in Brazil don't have credit cards. So there's a huge demand. And there's also huge demand for a digital account free of charge. So today we offer a free digital account to all our sellers. We also offer the mPOS devices. We offer loans. And now receivables advance and another product for our sellers, which is the corporate credit card. And there's something unique about it. The technology is proprietary. The card is issued and processed by Magalu using the technologies of the fintechs that we acquired last year, Hub Fintech and Bit55. So another important step in our fintech strategy. And next we show the growth in our total payment volume, growing by 89% year over year, reaching nearly 21 billion reais, highlighting all of our performance areas. Next, talking more about the financial highlights, Fred already talked a lot about growth. So just to underscore, marketplace growth was 50%, e-commerce in total increased 16%, physical stores 6%, and total sales grew 13% on an already very high base, reaching 14.1 billion reais. Another super highlight is the movement of our gross margin reaching 27.8% and our EBITDA margin going back to the level of 5% in the quarter as a whole, but evolving significantly during the quarter, exceeding 6% in March. And the net adjusted net income negative at 99 million reais, about 1% of our net revenue, pretty much influenced by financial expenses and high interest rates mostly. Next, we share the evolution of our adjusted EBITDA margin from 2.6% last quarter, the fourth quarter of last year, to 5% this year, with the highlight being the increase in gross margin. Fred already mentioned several initiatives which brought gross margins to a higher level. We highlighted the gradual transfer of inflation rates and interest rates to our customers. We reduced non-interest-bearing sales and somewhat increased interest rates in interest-bearing purchases as well. We also made adjustments in the commissioning of our sellers, and the growth of the marketplace per se, which was pretty strong and helps a lot the fee income, which is 100% gross income. So we highlight the increase in gross margin. And for selling expenses, we saw this quarter a dilution vis-à-vis the last quarter of last year, owing to the initiatives that Fred mentioned. And those were deployed over the quarter, and this March expenses were already diluted even further. So considering that they were implemented over the month, the effect tends to be more normalized in the coming months. And also about non-recurring expenses, this quarter they were much lower compared to the last quarter of last year, and over January and February they were done. So for the future, we expect to see a significant evolution in our operating profitability, which is important to address this moment of a higher interest rates in the economy. On next slide, a couple of words on working capital. As you can see, this quarter we reduced 1 billion in inventory as we promised. We closed with a supplier position much smaller than December last year. So there was a variation in working capital vis-à-vis December of nearly 3 billion reais. And as for March last year, nearly 2 billion reais. And it's important here to highlight that this is very seasonal. The first quarter usually has the seasonal effect, and the upside is that we paid all of the suppliers of the purchases performed by the end of last year. And now we have a very low supplier balance, one of the lowest of recent times. So it means that over the coming quarters, our payments will be much lower, and consequently, there'll be a positive reflection in the operating cash flow in the future. So working capital is very seasonal, and we have the chance to improve on a quarterly basis. Inventory turnover, we have a very good purchase balance, and chances are that in the last quarter, we tend to reverse this variation from the first quarter with very strong cash generation, as we always delivered for the last 5 years. We always deliver growth, generating cash from working capital. So this is our goal, and it was necessary to make this adjustment and reduce inventory 1 billion reais. Short term, we have this impact because these were purchases that we had made last year, but now they have already been paid, and for the future, it has a positive trend. And this is why the net cash, adjusted net cash variation is not a cash burn, but rather it is a variation associated to working capital. And once working capital goes back to normal in seasonality in the coming quarters, cash variation tends to follow and be very positive. They're very associated. So we keep on having a net cash position, one of the greatest capital structures in retail, 1.6 billion reais net cash. And on the next slide, we show more about our cash flow. So for the quarter, it's clearly here the variation of 12.3 billion reais to 8.5 billion reais, pretty much concentrated in working capital variation, as I said, and investment, mostly in logistics and technology of around 200 million reais, payment of the acquisition of KaBuM at 500 million reais, and lease and interest rates at 200 million. So this variation in cash flow in the quarter, once again, pretty seasonable and associated to working capital. On the next slide, we show that in 12 months, we increased the cash position from a level of 6 billion to 8.5 billion reais. Also, with the impact of working capital variation, we will improve inventory turnover. They will come back to normal levels. And also with the capital that we funded last year, both equity capital and long-term debt, we'll have a very robust cash position, one of the best for a first quarter, one of the greatest cash positions in our history, broken down into 2 billion reais cash and 6.5 billion as available receivables. On the next slide, a couple of words on Luizacred, also a great highlight at 7.3 million cards, Luiza and Magalu cards, more than 1 million Magalu cards, increasing our base and more than 30% for the last 12 months. And it's important to say we increased our sales in another 50%, showing that our customers are using our cards more often, spending more on our cards. We increased from 8 billion reais to 12 billion reais in revenues at Luizacred, and we highlight growth both inside Magalu, more than 20%, and also outside Magalu with over 50%. This is super important to activate the card and monetize Luizacred. And finally, about the quality of Luizacred's portfolio, we have one of the best NPL, 90 NPL levels, which is one of the best in the market, increasing slightly vis-à-vis December and March last year, but at a level of 6.6%, which is way lower than the pre-pandemic level. That's why we mentioned March of 2020, as this shows the quality of Luizacred's portfolio. Despite this scenario of an increase in delinquency in the market at large, owing to inflation, interest rates, etc., and despite a scenario in which we are growing a lot, adding a lot of new clients, customers, and despite that, we keep on having very good quality in this portfolio. Coverage ratio is also very high, 173%. And when we show net income, Luizacred had 34 million reais in BR GAAP and net loss of 27 million reais in IFRS. And once again, these are the growing pains due to a provisioning policy, which is very conservative. The difference of 60 million reais in net results stems from a difference of around 100 million reais of extra provisions in the quarter in IFRS versus provisions and BR GAAP. So once again, the quality and the level of provisioning is very conservative. We are confident that we are building a very healthy and profitable portfolio, one of the greatest rates of credit card growth in Brazil. So this is what we had. We will now open for questions. Thank you. We will now begin the questions and answer session. In order to ask a question, click on the Q&A icon at the bottom of your screen. Write your name, company, and language of your question to join the queue. Once announced, there will be a request to open your microphone on your screen when you should unmute and ask your question. Our first question is from Rob Ford from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Rob, you may go ahead, please. Bob, I think your microphone is mute. We can open it from here. Well, let's continue to the next question and we'll go back to Bob later. Next question, Joseph from JP Morgan. Joseph, you may go ahead. Good morning, everyone. Fred, Beto, Vanessa, thank you for taking my question. I'd like to talk about some macro topics. One of them Roberto already talked about, but looking at e-commerce, we see the company leveraging increasingly on the physical assets to grow. So looking forward, thinking about the long tail categories that the ticket is on average a little bit lower, but not always, I'd like to understand from you what we should think about the 3P reaching 50% of penetration in the e-commerce, that target of 50-50-50, 50% online, 53P, and online has exceeded that for some time. But how do you see this 50% in 3P? And the second question has to do with the cash burn, looking at the variation of the net debt of the company. Maybe within the best projection you have, how should we look at this number to see it more towards the end of the year in terms of cash generation in the second half of the year, maybe stronger? And the ads business as well, that's extremely high margin, 100 million annualized revenues, how it can help, as well as Magalu Pagamentos and the corporate account, if it should somehow help cash generation throughout the year. Thank you. Thank you for your question. I will answer the first one and then turn over to Beto to talk about the cash dynamic. So we see, based on the growth rates of 3P in the first quarter, even the fourth quarter of last year, that they are much higher. So we're adding sellers to our base. We're growing mainly in new categories. And our 1P is very robust. We're the market leaders in 1P. We also grew more than the historical average in the last few years, very much due to the pandemic. And we grew in 3P in the pandemic, 2020, 2021. We grew 3P. And if it hadn't been for the pandemic, it would not have been normal, but it happened because people were at home, they needed to buying a lot of durables, especially throughout the pandemic. That was the category that went well around the world in the 2 years. So it was a growth that ultimately postponed the higher participation of 3P. But if you continue to grow at expressive rates at 3P as the trend is going up, the growth in share, it's never the target. I just want to make it clear that there was never, we never had a target online vis-a-vis physical stores. We want to grow physical stores 1P, 3P, but naturally 3P will be growing more proportionally. All of the work we're doing with the Magalu partner and physical stores, it's a differential and it's a blue ocean. We're looking using a base of sellers that no one else has, Magalu Caravan will be responsible for a lot of the growth of the company's GMV, and it will continue to be a major growth factor as it was in this quarter. It was 3P, and it will continue to be so looking forward in the long run. This is how we see it. 3P is accretive in terms of contribution to the company's margins as it is operated now, because 3P, how it was operated in the past by the market, it was a take rate of zero, free shipping overall, even for products of 10 reais of average ticket. So we were operating very irrationally. But I see that all the marketplace customers became more rational recently, and this is something that Magalu likes because historically we have always operated growth with profitability, and 3P intrinsically is a channel that is even better than 1P, but it needs to be materialized in practice with healthy competition, as is the case right now. So we should continue to grow more than the average of the market as well. And the marketplace will contribute to our margins, and we believe we can definitely go back to historical levels. We had 4 years above 8%, so I see this is a completely healthy level. This interest level is healthy. We will have contributions from all of the fintech actions, especially credit to sellers and to consumers, because credit is what really makes money in the fintech world. For the part for payment is more to be able to get a customer base to activate credit. If you activate the credit, but receivables advance and credit not linked to receivables. And ads, that's a sector that operates at a margin at 50%. So the more it grows, and the market has a lot of room. There's 400 million per month, considering all of our channels: KaBuM!, Netshoes, Canaltech, Jovem Nerd, Steal the Look. Considering all of them, it's a major ecosystem that we have with a huge audience. So we can increase monetization quite a lot. And marketplace, fintech, focusing on credit, both for corporate and individuals, and ads will contribute greatly for us to recover margins and even exceed them in the future compared to our history. And I'm sure it will be. About cash, I think Beto already explained. In the last 5 years, we generated more than 1 billion reais in cash per year, except for last year, a lot due to the inventory aspects that we talked about in the past quarters. So we have balanced working capital, but we've always operated working capital in a positive way, with a positive cash cycle, and that's what's going to recover. Our history speaks for itself. We get 1 billion on average, even if you consider last year and the year before, it was more than 1 billion of cash generation, more than 3 billion reais. So the standard of Magalu is generating working capital above the results. So we're optimistic this year. Of course, there's a lot of work to do. We're still in the middle of a complex economic scenario, but that's what we believe in. Well, Joseph, Fred said it all. In the second half of last year, we had a plan for purchases. We had it with the industry, a schedule of orders from 3 to 6 months. So it wouldn't be possible to stop buying when we saw the slowdown of sales. So we ended up buying and having a higher level of inventory, and that resulted in payments in this first quarter that were advanced. The variation in working capital this quarter, beyond seasonality, it's associated to this prepayment of these purchases that we made at the end of last year. And this will no longer happen this year. We already have a budget. We have a schedule for purchases and sales that is adjusted in the current reality. We continue improving inventory turnover. We already have an average term of purchases that is quite healthy. And we're always seeking an increasingly better term that favors our inventory turnover. As Fred said, we always generated cash based on this regulation, and the trend is for that to be recovered this quarter, the third quarter, and strongly in the fourth quarter because it's the best one and it's going to combine for the first time the World Cup, Black Friday in the same period, and we have Netshoes involved. So, regardless of the macroeconomic scenario, the seasonality leads us to a period of higher sales with inventories more under control, and you end up generating a lot of cash. And then That leads to a balance of suppliers that is better at the end of the year, and they're paid in the first quarter of the following year. And so it goes. That's the dynamics of the retail sector. The most negative quarter for working capital is only the first quarter. The other quarters tend to be of cash generation from working capital. That's what we can say about cash generation in general. I don't know if you had any other thing in your question you'd like to know. That's it, Beto. Only if Magalu Pagamentos is already contributing in some relevant level. Magalu Pagamentos, which is Magalu Payment, has been contributing greatly over the last few years, both in margins and working capital and final profitability. So Magalu Payments is a highlight. This quarter, it grew almost 75% vis-à-vis the first quarter of last year. GMV of Marketplace grew 50% and Magalu Pagamentos grew 75%. So that shows you that our sellers are using our payment means more and more. And this has been contributing to our revenue, our fee revenue. And as a consequence, it increases our consolidated gross margin at a profit with profitability. Magalu Pagamentos once again had a profitable quarter. Last year it was 150 million of net profit, so the trend is also to turn a profit at Magalu Payments. And now with more and more services being delivered and products offered to our sellers, including the corporate credit card that is issued by Magalu Pagamentos, another way of further monetizing our fintech ecosystem. Great, thank you. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, Joseph. The next question, Bob Ford. Bob, can you hear us now? I think so. Yes, we can hear you. Thank you. Great, thank you. Congratulations on the improvements, and thank you for taking my question. The improvement on operating margins, is it only to cover the interest on the long term? Can you talk more about this? It's as well as the first lessons learned in this market and the challenges and response of engagement. And finally, Magalu Ads, where are you in terms of data and functionality? And what are you thinking about long term in ads, please? Bob, thank you for your question. What was the first question? Ah, see, margin, yes. Operating margins, long term and short term. Bob, the increasing margins was something that we've been working on and discussing with the market since the third quarter of last year as something completely necessary for the reality of higher interest rates. So, short term is a trigger for us to focus more strongly on margins than growth, especially 1P of durables and also physical stores for durables. When I mean 1P, I'm talking about both channels because that's the reality now. That's what we need. But the point is that whenever you gain efficiency, it's here to stay. And when interest rates go down, which is our outlook, some people expect it for the second half of the year, we expect it for next year. But once it does go down, the margins will stay and bottom line significantly increases. So that's an efficiency improvement that comes to stay. We also use a crisis to work on efficiency. And then the efficiency tends to remain. And as a reminder, these margins tend to go up as well, not only with efficiency measures, but with the new products that we're developing and we intend to scale up. Like I said, the fintech, we talked about Magalu Payments and the credit operations for individuals and corporations will contribute to our margins. They've always contributed to Magalu's earnings. It's nothing new. We have more than 40 years of consumer credit, so we know how to handle credit. It's not new. And NPL with the whole crisis was fully controlled at 6%. So we believe we're going to have great news in the future when it comes to margins stemming from this operation, not only for individuals, but also corporate. And ads, I also see huge potential to contribute to margins in the future. So I'm very optimistic. And it's also going to be one of our focuses. It's the market tends to demand more profitability from IT companies. The whole market's already operating on this basis. So I believe everyone is searching more balance in between growth and profitability. All companies in Brazil and around the world are keeping an eye on profitability, including startup companies. So it's a point of no return. The fundamental will be closer to valuation. And companies in general will be either open or listed companies or not, will leave room for the companies who always operated on a rational level as in a good balance as Magalu. As for ads, Fatala, maybe you could tell us more about IT, the IT part for ads and this service for searches, just to show this side of IT, and then I'll ask Eduardo to talk about the market. Hi, Bob. Speaking of Magalu Ads, we made some changes last year with the acquisition of the Inloco team. We developed our own ad server, a lot of work to adapt it to what we wanted to do here at Magalu Ads. We had the launch, and now we started to work in order to have more real estate, so to speak, in the Magalu channel. We started first with recommendations, with some window displays, and now we're taking it to searches. We're working on algorithms to also consider geolocation of these products, prioritizing products to product prioritizing products that are closer to consumers also on the ads. And as a next step is to explore the existing traffic from other Magalu channels, Época, Netshoes, Canaltech, as was said before, that add these 450 million sessions per month, so that we can use all this traffic to show our sellers ads. So we're with a map, we're working on development. Today, we have this evolution in Magalu's channel, and now we'll move forward to take ads to other channels in the ecosystem. Edu, would you like to add something? Well, like Fatala said, if you consider the platform, it's looking at searches. So if we think about self-service, this is what's going to give us scale. We're very happy with that. On the other hand, our content verticals, such as the Loop, Canaltech, etc., will join our commercial forces, and we achieved expressive growth in the revenues of these channels, developing special products, getting closer to the community of advertisers. We have relations with our media and all of the projects that we have at Magalu. So, like Fred said, it's a business with a high margin, ads, with these two drivers, the platform focusing on self-service, especially for sellers. And on the other side, the top of funnel for major advertisers. And we're very confident on the team's work to be able to continue growing and delivering results. He also asked about the market, Edu. Let me answer it, and if you want to add anything, feel free. As for the market's highly important in terms of number of orders, something around 40% of the total number of orders, and this is for 1P. We're also growing a lot on the efforts in 3P, including orders from VipCommerce. And we should also consider iCFOMI, Rightpub. I think they all have the objective of increasing frequency. And our focus for growth is 3P in this integration that we just announced, now in perishables. So it's still very early stages, but we're optimistic. I think the way to grow is bringing local commerce, local stores into the platform, not the centralized supermarket 3P or traditional marketplace model. And I think it's spot on when we acquired VIP and integrated to the super app. Economically feasible to be able to deliver washing powder to the Northeast by plane is never going to pay the bill. So the idea is to have this, the lower the ticket, the more local the delivery should be. So that's our goal for the lower ticket categories. Thank you, Bob. João Soares from Citibank. João, please go ahead.
Good morning. I'd like to talk a little bit about fulfillment, Fred. What's the company's ambition for the penetration of fulfillment? Maybe looking at percentage of the 3P GMV and maybe the economics of the fulfillment as well. How are you going to charge for that, maybe with additional commission from the sellers? I'd just like to understand what you're thinking about the economics for fulfillment. And a second point, just to make sure we're interpreting it right, the 3P already has an incremental contribution margin to the remainder of the company. So looking at the medium and long run, the environment today is very rational, as you said. Maybe in the future it might change again. So, is the company intending to sustain the contribution margin by means of monetizing ads, as you said, or maybe monetizing fulfillment so that may offset other investments? I'd like to understand the company's mind in the medium and long run for the contribution margin of 3P. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your question. I'll talk about fulfillment. Tess is on vacation, so maybe Fatala can add something of how we designed fulfillment. But the rationale, and it took some time, we designed the solution systemically, and we wanted to have fulfillment to be supplementary to 1P. We wanted to use the same DCs, the same docks, the same logistic operators, the same trucks, the same fleet, the same network that goes from the DC to the customer's home, include all of the cross-docking bases we invested in. We invested a lot in the area. The CapEx was of more than was historical, over 1 million square meters of storage area. Reducing the 1P inventories now, we have room to operate sellers and partners in the installed cost. So the idea is that we also have trucks with idle capacity between 30% to 50%. So there's a lot of room there to absorb an existing networks, existing routes that already do 1P, and supplement this with 3P sales, which of course with storage it increases. We've already been shipping deliveries that grew a lot, 110% in this quarter. 30% of deliveries happen in up to 2 days, and the focus of fulfillment is to help this 30% in up to 2 days to go further up. I won't have a guidance, but the idea is to increase this amount of up to 2 day deliveries. That's our only relevant logistics gap, the delivery term. So we started this effort a year and a half ago and went from 0 to 30. So we're already evolving quite a lot. We started 5 years ago, brought in 170,000 sellers, and went from 0 to 30% of delivery in 2 days. So that's a very strong work here. And the way we designed our fulfillment, it is totally accretive, and I believe we'll be able to generate profits operating at the lowest rates for sellers in the market. Because again, the cost is marginal. There's already an installed base of DCs.
We should increase DCs in the future. We have some fat to burn now because we invested a lot, but the increase of logistic capacity is 30% of store areas as well is for storage. It's important to stress this. It's not only DCs and cross-docking centers. So the mindset is to make the most of multi-channel models. The store pickup for 1P is 45%, ship from store, store pickup, and only 3% of 3P, and this number will go up. And the cost for pickup, store pickup is very low for the company, and it's going to be low for the seller as well. It's going to help us in many senses to use the same benefits from multi-channels that 1P enjoys. I believe that this path is, there's no turning back. We're not in Kansas anymore. I think there's been many years of negative interest rates in the world, but I don't see the possibility of Brazil going back in terms of interest rates in the short term. So I see that overall, investors and executives will be now focusing on rational growth. Irrational growth today makes no sense. And I don't think it ever will be, or at least not anytime soon. The startups that are operating with a lot of cash burn are not being able to turn and large. Publicly traded companies with a lot of cash burn are being forced to rationalize, they're pressured, or they're having a dip in share price. So I think it's a no turning back. It's how Magalu historically always operated with a very balanced way. We always grew with profitability, and we want to continue to operate as such, especially in an environment where the capital cost is so high. Thank you, Fred. So just to conclude here, maybe this contribution margin of 3P is going up. With the inclusion of ads and the fintech products that we're offering, yes, we already have a margin increase, which allows us to work in a more positive way. We don't need to take it even up. We're not burning cash. There are marketplaces burning 2 billion cash per year in some places, and we're not there. So we should keep at this upward trend, but with no hiccups. We're going to be steady in this growth. Our 3P is not as big as it can be, and we will get there. So it's important to have it balanced without exaggerating. We are being tougher in terms of margins in 1P. On 3P, we just wanted positive margins, developing initiatives to improve it on the long run, but we don't need to push it too far. We need to continue to grow 3P over 1P. Great, Fred. Thank you. Thank you for the question, João. Next question, Irma Sgarz, Goldman Sachs. Irma, you may go ahead, please. Hello, good morning. I have two questions. Firstly, just to go back to fulfillment, I'd like to understand more what changed your mindset. If in the past you said fulfillment maybe wouldn't make as much sense, offering cross-docking to sellers would be the solution that would make more sense to you. I understand that the idle capacity is a very important rationale, but I also imagine that there should have been maybe another type of feedback or lesson learned that changed your mindset. So just to understand the evolution in the logistics strategy for sellers in fulfillment. And the second question about Magalu Partner and Caravan strategies, they're great. It makes a lot of sense. Maybe if you just wanted to understand from when do you believe this will be an important engine for the growth of 3P? If it's something that you expect already this year, maybe the second half of the year, or for the future, midterm, so to speak. Thank you. Well, Irma, thank you for your question. Your question gives me the chance to clarify that this is not a changing strategy. We never said we wouldn't have fulfillment. We always said that our focus was on local delivery and cross-docking, and it remains the same. I don't see fulfillment becoming the majority of our deliveries in the future. It's always going to be an additional option for sellers who are willing to have product inventory here, but we'll continue to grow cross-docking delivery, focusing in the hyper-local deliveries. It's a complement to the logistics service. Our fulfillment, there is no exclusive 3P DC. We use the infrastructure that we have for 1P, complementing with the 1P facilities at a very much lower marginal cost compared to 3P-only operations. And that was what made us stand out. Our 1P, that's always been profitable, will be the same for 3P. So I don't see it as a strategic change. It's something to add. So looking at the future, I believe that fulfillment is not going to be the majority of our 3P deliveries, but it will be an important option to provide faster deliveries, better services for those sellers who are willing to pay for this. So again, it's something that adds on and not a strategic change of route. I don't remember the second question, the caravan. Well, we're going to visit several Brazilian cities. There's something very important about the caravan to attract very specific sellers, those analog sellers. We believe it's important to be closer to them to do the conversion. This is a project for many years. We're going to visit many cities this year and we'll continue next year. We're very excited, and it's part of a higher value proposition. We have all the IT support for analog sellers. We have the hub team from physical stores that prepare for that. We have the logistics with the stores working as agencies, and we have all the hunter work and a number of other initiatives to bring analog sellers in. If you put them all together, they're already making a difference. We are the company who have added the most formal sellers into our base for the last 2 years. We had a couple of important pilots in April, so I'm very optimistic that all of these initiatives combined to the caravan, that's going to be like the cherry on top, will give us the opportunity to continue having sustainable growth in the seller base. As an important point of the caravan is not only adding new sellers, but also selling more services of our ecosystem to the sellers. Credits, DM, POS devices, cards, putting the sellers in all of the group's platforms, not only Magalu, bringing restaurants to AiQFome. So the view is to materialize the ecosystem in the city, not only bringing in more sellers, but also doing cross-selling. Crystal clear, thank you. Thank you for the question. Helena, Itaú BBA. Please, Helena, go ahead. Thank you for taking the question. A question is a follow-up from some of the things we saw about profitability, working capital, but I would like to understand how you've been capable of, at the same time, reducing a lot of the inventory with an increasing profitability. And if you could tell us more of how the 1P margin specifically evolved, the gross margin, and how much or how important this market rationale was to that improvement. Thank you. Good morning, Helena. Thank you. Gross margin, we highlighted that it grew in 1P in the merchandise revenue. And for the effects that we talked about, the price increases, the charging of interest from end customers that also affect the gross margin of goods. And it went up compared to the last quarters, going back to a level that is closer to the first quarter of last year when we look at the merchandise gross margin. When we talk about the gross margin of Magalu overall, the parent company, then you have the fee income that helps a lot. And this fee income is also combined to the growth of marketplace, growing more than 50%. So when we look at Magalu, we see the large margin expansion of these two aspects. And when we look at the consolidated figure, where we have the controlling company and the consolidated results, we have the very positive effect of Netshoes, Época Cosméticos, the two very important verticals that are leaders in their categories at gross margins at around 40%. And we also see the consolidation of Magalu Pagamentos, Bit, Hub, the fintechs with a very positive gross margin, basically from service fees with a very large gross margin. So Magalu's gross margin grows even more in the consolidated view. So it's a combination of different factors, products and services at Magalu, new categories, fintech services. And if we talk about merchandise specifically, you mentioned a point that is very relevant, that we were able to increase the merchandise margins compared to previous quarters, selling 1 billion reais of inventories, as we mentioned, selling products that were in excess, a surplus, in a quarter that is usually marked by fantastic sale promotions in retail at the beginning of the year. And we were able to do that very efficiently in operating terms, being very assertive in the campaigns and promotions at the stores, e-commerce, the two channels. We were able to reduce the non-interest-bearing sales, increasing interest-bearing sales. This also goes through campaigns, mobilization of the sales force at physical stores, a lot of A/B testing on e-commerce. And we've been able to, well, like 1 year ago, we ran a lot of campaigns with payments over the 24 times without interest. Now it's up to 10 months for non-interest-bearing payments at a much smaller proportion than in the past. Sales for more than 10 installments, most of them are interest-bearing. And when we sell, we had lower interest rates that we charged, but paid higher interest rates. So there's a series of initiatives that led us to increase the gross margin of merchandise as well, even with the selling of over 1 billion in inventory. So it's a combination of factors, and all of them are very sustainable. And we'll continue to try to do that in coming quarters as well. Excellent, thank you.
Thank you for your question, Elena. Next question, Daniela Eiger, XP Investments.
Thank you for taking my question. Good morning, everyone. I have a couple of follow-up questions. First point about working capital. First, I'd like to explore the strong reduction in suppliers. I understand you said it came from a lower purchase, I guess due to this normalization of inventory levels, but is there something also to do with dynamics of a negotiation for better cash payment or something that you saw as an opportunity with this challenging macro environment, maybe allowing more adequate gross margin at a lower price range? So just try to understand if it was purely related to lower purchases or if there's also negotiation involved. And then for the future, you mentioned about the more adequate inventory level. If we consider China still being in lockdown, a risk of offer disruption, we can see shortage of products in the United States. How do you see a possible resumption in the second half of the year in Brazil? Maybe more concentrated in the fourth quarter. How can we consider this new inventory levels? Does this make sense considering this possible resumption in the second semester or not? And then maybe we'll have a new breakdown for the second half of the year. And a second brief question, just to make sure I got this. The operating margin at 8, what is the timing that you consider that makes sense for this recovery of these levels? And finally, about delinquency,
It is actually very much under control, but can you tell us more, looking specifically for sellers, because the risk is yours. So how is that behaving, if you can tell us as well? Or how you look at the mortality of these sellers considering the more challenging macro scenario? Thank you.
Hi, Daniela. Good morning. There's many parts to your question. Let's try to remember them all. First, about the supplier dynamics. I think when it comes to terms, the levels are completely healthy. And if we consider the scenario where you're negotiating for lower inventory levels and then you reform this, you have to always check for the better option. Is it lower cost or better terms? And what's more profitable to you? We considered it was good to work on having a clean second quarter, with no long payments to supplier terms, with lower inventory levels compared to the end of last year, for us to run the second quarter onwards with a more balanced operating margin. So we have, so to say, a clean working capital. We have a lot of suppliers already maturing, so we have room for negotiation that is very positive for the conversations from the second quarter onwards. I still believe inventory is not fully balanced. If we look at coverage term, we've had better terms. So there's still some work to do. Not fully balanced, but the bulk was achieved in the first quarter. That said, I believe that the current circumstance now is better than last year. Last year, we had inventory for sale on the second, third quarter of the year. The US dollar was at 5.7, and the United States were very heated buying products from all over the world. So the coronavirus bias was a lot higher than ours. So there was an explosion of consumption there. And it was a time where you had a shortage of products in the world, and the US dollar exchange rate was high. The USD was 5 times the real. We saw an excess of products, even. Not as much as we'll see in the second half of the year. I feel the economy is slowing down in the United States and will continue to do so with this plan to increase interest rates. But what I've been talking to my suppliers about, and our commercial director can add to it, is a lot more availability in most of the suppliers than we had last year at a better dollar rate. So we have better conditions to buy, better costs. The exception is steel, white goods that's still pressured, but there's products to sell. No problem in availability. But I think we'll have better conditions of a lean working capital for negotiations in the future at higher margins. But we believe we'll be able to evolve our margin significantly and improve working capital in the future. Just to make it clear, Daniela, we are not giving a guidance of 8, okay? What I said is that we operated historically at margins of 8 and that we can naturally come back to them again. This was our standard in the past, and I'm convinced it is possible again. But this is not a guidance. Okay, just a comment that we have already operated for 4 years before the pandemic with all the stores open, better balanced growth and margin. So we have a good opportunity to go back to that. The company has more scale, more bargaining power, more scale to dilute fixed costs. So I'm convinced it is possible, but it's not a guidance, and I'm not going to provide a time frame for that. I don't remember the other questions. Fabrício? Prego, if you want to add something about suppliers, you can go ahead. Good morning, Daniela. About delinquency, you wanted to know about the seller delinquency, right? And we have a product which is loans for sellers funded by our FIDC. We already provided loans for more than 1,000 sellers. Out of those 180,000 sellers we have, the focus is on small sellers
who need loans to invest in inventory and sell more in our marketplace. So these are sellers that we loan on average 150,000 reais per loan. The portfolio is relatively small. If we do the math, it's around 50 million reais only. We're making adjustments to the experience and in the model, and we expect to be able to very soon speed up and scale up this product. It will increase in the future, driven by the growth of our marketplace and our seller base as a whole. So the liquidity today is very low. NPL, 90 NPL is below 5%. Now, these are public figures. We disclose them in our FIDC results. It's disclosed to the market. You can see the delinquency is very low. We're still making adjustments. The upside of this product is that, firstly, we have all of the sellers' data on a daily basis of transactions and our seller score. That's why delinquency is very low as well. We use all of this data for the pre-approval and approval of sellers based on experience, NPS, quality, growth rate, cancellation rate, all of the data that we have available about that seller on a daily basis. That really adds to our approval model. We also combine it to external data, of course. So at the end of the day, approval per se is very efficient. And on top of that, the seller has a very close relationship with us. They sell inside our platform. So they're willing to pay so they can keep on selling as well. So it's different from a purely transactional operation. There's a strong relationship, there's some interdependence. And we also have receivables as a guarantee. And in the future, we might even have inventory as guarantee. So it's a very relevant operation to our strategy and for the growth of our fintech and marketplace and the potential for monetization. So the liquidity is under control and very low, under 5% NPR. Excellent. Thank you. Next question, Richard Cathcart, Banco Bradesco. Thank you, Vanessa. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my question and for the information that you disclosed today about the growth of the different categories. I'd like to go ask specifically about the apparel category. I know it's something we've discussed here before, but just going back to that question, the level of cross-selling that you are being able to encourage between the specialized sites and for Magalu specifically in the apparel category. I'd also like to understand if you can share information about the organic traffic and paid traffic levels in this category, the apparel category. Thank you. Thank you for the question, Richard. I'll turn over your question for our fashion head. Hello, Richard. I'm sorry, we're having technical issues, but thank you for your question. So first, want to talk about our specialized websites and Magalu's super app. We understand that each one of these proposals, the value propositions and the specialist or generalist websites have a very relevant role. Our super app does this job of really becoming a one-stop shop. It is the destination of our audience inside Magalu, especially based on the marketplace, so we can leverage the diversity of assortment, linking a lot of sellers together and bringing this convenience to our consumers. So there's a series of benefits that we're developing within our value proposition, generalist, from cost benefits to consumers in the super app when we run cashback campaigns. Our consumers benefit from the multiple categories. We have the Parceiro Magalu, the Magalu partner, who's very relevant for both categories, both fashion and beauty, both in the sense of bringing the small sellers on board. At Magalu, we have this purpose of being able to involve smaller sellers who would otherwise not be able to digitalize by themselves. So inside Magalu's app, through Magalu Parceiro, Magalu Partner, support these sellers and the smaller brands and help them become digitalized. And this is very productive, and we've been seeing significant results. In the fashion category today, Magalu has been growing at a three-digit rate for some quarters. The first quarter, we grew 115%. Magalu already represents 40% of our fashion sales. And we understand that for the future, this will continue at this pace. And when we talk about cross-selling, about your specific question in the specialized sellers in Magalu, we also see this benefit. So Zattini, Netshoes, and Epoca are major sellers in our super app Magalu, and we're able to drive the specialty of these specialized platforms, which is the experience that's more focused on the category with higher ticket, average tickets. For example, Zattini, we can sell higher average tickets, usually a more specific product mix. And this is also driven between Magalu and Zattini. But Richard, just reinforcing that we understand that each one of the specialist sites has their own specific role. So inside Magalu with cross sales, yes, but they also have their own audience. Just to illustrate, Netshoes and Zattini have a basis of 9 million clients. It's quite relevant. Zattini has 2 million active users. It's a very engaged basis that we understand is important, and we'll continue investing on it. And I think you asked about the flow, right? Organic and paid. Well, Richard, we understand and we can see that in our specialist websites, Zattini, Epoca, Netshoes, we have an organic flow, which is higher. So they are platforms that are the destination for those categories. There's a loyalty that they acquired. The organic flow is higher, very much driven by our apps. As I said, Zattini has 2 million app installs. That's a very engaged base. It was on the top three most installed fashion apps. So we have this strategy in our specialized sites to invest and engage their users through the app. And this helps us in terms of increasing organic flow. Specifically in Magalu, there is more leverage in the paid access, but we also have over the months seeing this evolution of the increase of organic traffic as we create this base and this awareness. We're able to see this progressive evolution of organic traffic within Magalu as well. Excellent. Thank you for the answers. Richard, thank you for the question. Next question, Andrew Rubin, Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, Andrew.
I think for the question, most have been answered, but I'd like to understand a bit more about Kaboom in particular, what drove a continued strong margin, and if there are any takeaways from Kaboom's margin trajectory that can perhaps apply to the core Magalu business. Thank you.
Andrew, thank you for your question. Well, Kaboom is a very special company in several aspects. It is in the fastest growing segment with a huge loyal base. Organic traffic is also huge. Cash sales are also very high, above 30%, just to give you an idea. So there's not such a lot of receivables discounts effect. Although it's a high ticket, cash stakes is very high and extremely efficient. So the SG&A is 10%. It's very low. So inventories are centralized. It's a very efficient operation with unique features, without so much competition, no major competitors. There are small operators in Brazil who don't have the Kaboom name. So it's very peculiar and unique. And all the companies that we acquire, of course, we also try to bring know-how. We did that with Netshoes and certainly with Kaboom, the feedback of smart processes, more efficient operations will be used as well for 1P as a whole. But this is evidence that a very well-managed 1P can deliver great results.
We now close the Q&A session. I would like to turn the floor over to Frederico Trajano for his final remarks.
I would just like to thank you all for participating in our call and wish you a great week.
Magalu's conference call is now ended. The IR team remains available to answer any questions you might have. Thank you very much. Have a great day.